Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Ola.
Ola.
I think that's right.
I hope it is.
O-L-O-H.
O-L-O-H.
Ola.
Where's that at?
It is in Lamar County.
Okay.
So around Hattiesburg.
South Mississippi.
South Mississippi. Pine Belt.
Well, Robert St. John will have to lock us in.
In 1907, Ola had two churches, a school, and a turpentine plant.
Yes.
There you go. It's served by a community center. It also doubles as a voting precinct.
Well, that's any small community in Mississippi, pretty much.
12 miles west of West Hattiesburg on Route 98.
West of West.
Yeah. It's super west.
That is a quite really west. Yeah, we're going to have to ask Robert St. John about
that. We'll find out. So,
if he can take time in his busy schedule traveling the country.
The world, rather. Yeah.
Maybe he can listen to us and
he'll let us know.
The club again.
I feel like with the weather outside right now, it's a little frightful.
It is
so,
frightful.
Perhaps it's time to tell you that the best hot chocolate you can get is at Strange Brew Coffee House. Go grab your one there. And, of course, they sell the mix if you want to take it home as well. They've got a lot of different flavors. As Robbie, I don't know if they have a Reese's Caramel Cup flavor, but they should. All right. Mm. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I didn't know Reese's had caramel cups.
I'm still in Halloween.
Yeah, I didn't know Reese's had caramel cups until Miss Debbie brought us this bucket of candy out there.
Well, and now they got the Oreo.
Yeah, I had some of those at the house. I need to go. I haven't tried it yet.
They're good.
All right. Well, you know what else is good? Beef. Beef is what's for dinner. If you're looking to cook out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And, of course, if you're looking for a great weeknight meal for your family, beef makes it delicious and it makes it nutritious and makes it easy to cook. So many great recipes out there, and beef can fit into any of them. If you're looking for them, they're at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are going to be looking for it. You need to get some new gear this holiday season. Get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowa by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker who has a relationship with you, not just with your money. That's Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Before we do anything else, let's turn it over to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning to find out what happened as Mississippi State took on Iowa State tonight in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We go now to Future Brian. Thanks, Brian and Robbie. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. One of those games where I just got to find one stat and it'll tell you everything you want to know about this game. Normally, if I tell you that Mississippi State shoots 50% from the field, 41% from three, 79% from the free throw line, and out-rebounds its opponents by six, you would think, wow, State probably dominated this game. But then I'm going to point out that Mississippi State had 26 turnovers, which led to 29 Iowa State points, and Mississippi State suffers one of the worst non-conference losses I can remember under Chris Jans. 96-80 is your final score. Mississippi State just looked like a team that had no idea what its identity was, no idea who was supposed to be doing what. Just a miserable performance. Defensively, soft. Looked like they had no idea what they were supposed to be doing defensively. And then on the offensive end, just so discombobulated. Jaden Epps doesn't make the trip. But, I mean, in his absence, State was, it felt like they had nothing going on. Hubbard with 25 points in this game, you would think that would be plenty to get State to a win. He's 4 of 10 from 3, 8 of 17 overall. But the only other double-figure Bulldog was Brandon Walker, who got most of his points in garbage time. I'm sorry, Sean Jones had 11. Quincy Ballard, a guy that State I thought was, you know, going to rely on for interior defense, only 4 points and four rebounds, no block shots. Achor got off to a hot start in this game, 9 points, eight rebounds, but didn't do much in the second half at all. Jabari McGee as a starter, only 6 points for him coming off a game where he had double figures against North Alabama. Sergei Makara, look, this guy I think has some talent, but he is not ready for SEC basketball, but State's playing him 18 minutes. I'm not sure what to make of this. This is a game that for Mississippi State, look, I know it's just the second game, and they can obviously get it all figured out and be better, but this was not the kind of game you're watching, and you feel really good about State's ability to you know move forward. This was a very startling result if you're a Mississippi State fan to see the way they played, the way, you know, from coming from a game where they only had 7 turnovers to now have 26 in one game. Just, you know, no offense outside of Hubbard, very sloppy on offense, just passing the ball around, hoping somebody will come open and then leaving it to Hubbard to figure it out there at the end. Hubbard plays 36 minutes. Nobody else played more than 25. I mean, they just basically said, hey, Josh, save us, and it wasn't nearly enough to do it. And then for Iowa State, just they were good in this game. Shot the ball well. They shot 51%. Terrible behind the line. And it's, as I mentioned, out-rebounded by 6, but led by as many as 25 points in this game. Blocked 5 shots, had 12 steals, and dominated the paint 56-30. Mississippi State has a lot to figure out over these next few days. They don't play again until Saturday, but they just don't look right. You know, the Amir Ali played in this game, but that again was something that came later. You know, didn't play in too many minutes, only 6 minutes for him. I mean, this is just a very discombobulating result, in my opinion. You know, I didn't know if State would win or lose this game. I thought, you know, Iowa State's a very good team, and I knew that State could lose. But to just get manhandled like that was very very disappointing and makes you wonder what this team's going to look like down the road as we continue on. Just a rough night for Mississippi State. I would not want to be in that locker room to hear what Chris Jans has to say when this one was wrapped up, because, my goodness, did State play just one of its worst games? I was trying to think back over the last few years in non-conference. And I know State's had some losses in there. Obviously, the Southern game stands out in terms of a loss, but that was a game where State was leading for most of the game, and they just played so poorly down the stretch, and it got away from them. This was, you know, at State's last lead in the game came at the 9:40 mark in the first half, up 16-15. From that point on, they didn't lead again. Iowa State controlled the game basically throughout. State couldn't get stops, turned the ball over way too much. The thing that stood out to me aside from the turnovers was how soft State's defense was, especially in the interior. I can't tell you how many times a simple screen led to an easy, uncontested bucket for Iowa State. Bulldogs got a lot to figure out. That was not an inspiring performance by any stretch of the imagination. So back at it on Saturday, and man, they've got some real work to do between now and then. You know, an easier opponent with Southeastern Louisiana coming in, but then, you know, next week with Kansas State, and then either Nebraska or New Mexico. Those are going to be tough games in the Hall of Fame Classic. Bulldogs have got to put it together, because another effort like this, and they're going to have some bad losses on the schedule sooner rather than later. So, again, final score from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Iowa State 96, Mississippi State 80. Not a good night for the Bulldogs. We'll see if they can turn that back around starting on Saturday. Let's get back to the studio and talk some football with present-day Robbie and Brian. All right, thanks to Future Brian, or to hell with you, Future Brian. We don't know.
We don't. You.
Or
love you.
There you go. All right. We just got wrapped up with Jeff Lebby, and we'll just go right in. Oh, hold on one second here. Hold on. We got a little something here. What is this?
Says, oh, we have gifts?
It says Brian.
Oh, you have a gift.
I have a gift. Well, I bet you this is. I'm sure this is from our friend John. You know, I'm sure you probably got one up at the thing. Thank you, John, if you're listening. A little churn and spoon gift card action.
I don't see it.
I had not seen that until right now. So I was just sitting here on my desk. Very nice.
This is awkward.
Well, I'm sure.
It's awkward, John.
John, John got you one. He always takes care of both.
You don't have to give me anything, John.
Yeah. You didn't have to get me anything, John, but I'll certainly take it. Jeff Lebby. So we'll just jump right in with the sign. The sign today is brought to you by Pip Printing and Signs, who want to let you know that if you're a Mississippi State fan and a business owner, you already spend money on printing. Why not spend it, A, with a Mississippi State-run business, and B, a business that's going to give a portion of your sale right back to Mississippi State and the Bulldog Initiative? That's what you get with Pip Printing and Signs. The best in the business, 30 years of experience. They've been helping businesses just like you. When you need signage, interior or exterior, or whatever it is you need to do for marketing, Pip Printing and Signs puts together a plan that gets customers coming in the door. But more importantly, as I said, 10% of your sale directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. So you get to be a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your own money. Call Cam Baker today at 601-499-5216. Let him put together a plan for your business. When you need printing, call Pip today. The sign is quite simple. If Blake Shapen is healthy, he will be the quarterback for Mississippi State this weekend. However, Shapen did not practice on Monday and was, you know, I believe the term will evaluate him throughout the week. That didn't sound overly confident. I would imagine when we get to Wednesday, we're looking at a questionable for Blake Shapen, and they'll figure it out from there. But the idea that there's a quarterback change coming is going to be wholly dependent on Blake Shapen itself.
Yeah, it is. And it's exactly what we said on Monday's show. I mean, if Blake Shapen is healthy, Jeff Lebby will start Blake Shapen. Mm-hmm. That's really not a surprise. That wasn't really a revelation from him when he said that.
Right.
That's what I believed on Sunday to be true. That's what I believe today. I just don't think he's going to go away from Blake Shapen. But it really did not sound good for Shapen playing on Saturday. Just the demeanor that Lebby had, the phrasing that he used, it just didn't.
It felt like he might be hurt.
He's not one that really plays games, or like he doesn't really do the gamesmanship thing.
Right.
He doesn't really, you know, try to misdirect. You pretty much know where a person is for the most part. I mean, a lot of guys, he'll say, you know, we'll let the Wednesday report dictate whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes out and he says, like, yeah, you know, he didn't practice today, he'll have to be fully healthy to play on Saturday. Like, he reiterated he needed to be fully healthy. It just kind of feels like this is going to be Camario's game.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to the players, they none of them ever came out and said that was going to be the case, but they spoke at length about him, mm-hmm. pretty much all of them mm-hmm. that we talked to, about Camario, if mm-hmm. it is his team on Saturday, their thoughts on him and how he commands the offense, all that stuff. But it's going to be really interesting. I think it is truly – I don't think there is any quarterback controversy with Jeff Lebby.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's simply, is Blake Shapen healthy or not? So let's just go with Blake Shapen's not healthy. Let's just go with it's going to be Camario Taylor. What does that look like for Mississippi State with a full week to game plan? That is going to be fascinating to watch. Because to this point, Camario has come into the ball game as a kind of gimmick, maybe not the right word, but run first guy.
They've had packages for him.
Yeah, packages is probably the right thing to say about what they've done with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also come in when Shapen's been injured, and they have given him the full scope of everything and let him run the full offense.
Mm-hmm.
This is a full week of preparation, potentially, for mm-hmm. Camario Taylor, where he is in the game plan in a very big way. And I know he's probably been a part of all that, but now it is, Camario, this is what we need you to do against Missouri's defense. I honestly believe if Shapen is out, this is probably your best chance to win this ball game and to beat that defense.
Mm-hmm.
If Kamara, and you know, Kamara might go out there and he might not execute, but for what he does, there is not a better quarterback on the roster to beat that defense. This is one of the best rushing defenses in the country. It's one of the best total defenses in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy that I think can do some things for you that you can't do with Blake Shapen.
Yeah, for sure.
So what he's lacking in experience, and he's lacking in the leadership part of things, which that, he's not incapable of being a leader out there, but Blake Shapen's done this a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
What he's lacking there, he makes up for it by the fact that he can run the football. He is going to make that defense game plan for his legs and his arm,
mm-hmm.
which is you don't have to worry about that a whole lot with Blake Shapen.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of changes the whole dynamic. I mean, Jerron Manning said it when we talked to him on Monday. Like, it's a problem for a defense to game plan for having a guy like Kamario Taylor. Like, it's not going to be an easy game plan for Missouri. As good as they've been defensively, that is a tough guy to prepare for. You have film on him, but not extensive to this point. So it's going to be really intriguing. I mean, we won't really know until Wednesday kind of where things stand. And even after that, we might not.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of feels, as we sit here on a Monday, that this is trending towards being Kamario Taylor's first start.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I would say is this, that you're correct in the things that Kamario can't bring to the game plan. But the thing he does bring, the mobility, the running ability, makes up for that, in my opinion, in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at State, they could not run the ball against Arkansas, but Kamario could. And they couldn't really run the ball against Georgia, but Kamario could. And
he's leading the team. Well, Xavier Gaten, I think, is leading the team, but
yards per carry?
I think he's second in yards per carry.
And his ability, you know, as he continues to run the ball, teams are going to key on him, which means when he hands it off, Booth and Bothwell should be able to benefit from that. When he decides to pass, those guys should be open down the field. Yeah, maybe you lose some of what you've had in the short passing game, but let's just be honest. The short passing game has not been a big strength for this team all year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Most of their big passing games have been through big plays, which Kamario has shown you twice now in the last 2 weeks. He's hit balls down the field. So I just feel like if you're ever going to make a change, you've got the window to do it now. If Shapen had not gotten hurt in the game and he just finished out the game, I don't know that we're having this discussion. It becomes more of just, you know, you just want to do it. But we saw him move the football against Arkansas. We saw him move the football against Georgia. There's just no reason not to go ahead and do this. And if nothing else, aside from the fact that I think it gives you the best chance to win, it sets you up for some success next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's not coming in game one, you know, cold. You know, first start ever. He's gone through this a little bit, and if you could somehow win one of these games and give him an extra month of repetition and practice, everything else, goodness gracious, then you've got to feel really good about where you're going to be going into the 2026 season with a new quarterback. You'll be as far ahead as a new quarterback could be.
Yeah, this is invaluable opportunities for Kamario. He's had some good reps, and you know, he's played on the road at Texas A&M. He's played on the road at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going up against Texas and Tennessee and these teams.
Uh-huh.
But getting a start on the road against a great defense as a true freshman is just invaluable reps. And that would be big, I think, for Mississippi State. And
if you win, what a confidence booster.
What a confidence booster. And that's you know, one of the things that was said, I think maybe Sadie Troy, I think, said it. I don't want to attribute to the wrong person, but his confidence is through the roof. Like, Sadu is a fifth-year senior, I think, and he talked about his confidence. Like, it's just something that you pick up right away. He has a ton of confidence in himself.
Mm-hmm.
He has a ton of confidence. And you see that on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see the way he carries himself. He's not timid. He's not, you know, somebody's coming after him and he just falls to the ground or he makes a terrible read or whatever. Like, the reads he's making right now are not bad.
We talked
about
it yesterday, that even when he misses,
yeah,
you can tell he's making the right decisions.
Well, Jeff Lebby said, I asked Jeff Lebby at the press conference about the short, like, intermediate game. Did he feel like some of those misses were just, he's speeding up maybe, or he's in the moment and it's just an experience thing. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Lebby thinks it is. It's like he just needs to get in there and have the reps, because he said, we're not seeing that at practice. Like, that is very unusual for what he does. Like, he hits those plays in practice. Mm-hmm. That is not a problem for him. And if anybody has had, like, the statement that, you know, he's just not ready, he's raw, like, he's just, he can't, he needs to be developed, that's not what Jeff Lebby's seeing at practice. Like, Jeff Lebby has told us several times, we feel confident in giving him the full scope of the offense. We feel confident in him running everything that we tell him to run. It's just about him feeling the confidence in himself to make those plays. And that comes with in-game reps. I mean, it's one thing to do it in practice, but whenever you don't know, like, the script of it, and it's not just throwing against air and things like that, it's totally different. When you have a 300-pound man running after you full speed trying to kill you. Like, it really is a totally different scenario. If, you know, all of us,
example,
like,
of what that looks like?
Well, a little more muscle, probably, and a little, you know, anyway.
I'm not 300 pounds either.
That's true. But, yeah, I think that it really is like one of those deals where you have to get in there and you have to experience this stuff in real time. And I just don't see a downside to just rolling with Camario at this point.
Yeah.
I know that Jeff Lebby has a lot of love for Blake Shapen, and we talked about it a lot on Monday, so you guys can go hear all that. But, like, this is about the future of the program too, and it's about giving yourself the best chance to win. It just feels like Camario, from a skill set standpoint, is probably your best chance to win this game, to be productive on the offensive side of the ball, to do what you want to do there. Camario just feels like the right guy. And if Shapen is hurt in this game and he can't play and Camario goes out there and he fails, then it doesn't mean that Camario isn't the right guy moving forward, or
right,
he's not going to succeed here.
Right.
And it doesn't mean anybody's wrong for thinking that he should get more of an opportunity, because it's just based on what we've seen from both quarterbacks. And at this point, it just feels like Camario, from a skill set standpoint, allows this offense to do more, to be more explosive, to not be, they're not really one-dimensional, but the quarterback kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting any threat.
Well, they have been one-dimensional these past couple of weeks. You know, they haven't been able
they can't
to run,
run
football. They have not.
And to me, the only way to alleviate your issues on the offensive line right now is to have a quarterback that can kind of do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're taking a lot of pressure off the offensive line that's having to be perfect to open up holes for you. Camario, there's a lot of holes he can open up himself by just running over someone or picking up positive yards. And when you have to account for that, it just opens up so much more of this offense. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out the rest of the week. But it surely seems like on Monday, that's where it's trending to be.
Mm-hmm.
Camario Taylor standing behind center and taking the snaps. And, you know, that's Luke Crumenhawk's got to be ready.
Yeah.
Crumenhawk's a guy that could potentially get in there and play in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all hands on deck for Mississippi State. This would be a huge game to get to try to get to bowl eligibility before you get to the Egg Bowl. You take a ton of pressure off of you if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity here for Camario Taylor to really take that next step.
Anything else stand out to you as far as what Lebby had to say? The only thing that really took from it was they're in the process of getting another year for Will Whitson, so having him back next year would be a massive thing for Mississippi State.
Yeah, and when he got hurt, you know, I'd asked him about that and whether or not he felt like they could get another year.
Mm-hmm.
And they did feel decent about it. He feels even more confident about it this time around with Will Whitson, which would be his seventh season, I think. It probably, to me, I don't think there's a big question mark as to whether or not he would be able to get another year. It's, does he want to play another year or not? I figure he does, because he could make a lot of money next year. It feels like if he comes back, he was going to make a lot of money this year.
Yeah,
had he played a full season. So that's something to watch for sure. But they are trying to get that other year, and like I said, he feels very good about it.
All right. Let's move into our SEC picks. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Two great places to go grab lunch or dinner whenever you are in Starkville. So if you are in Starkville, it's around lunchtime or dinner time, I expect to see you in the Cotton District. And you just make a choice. Right? You can go to either one. Go to Two Brothers. You can go to the Older Brother. You're both going to have a great meal at either one. So this is this week I'm getting back. I got to get back in the game with Two Brothers. I haven't been in so long. Been about, yeah, you know, I say so
we have
long.
Not.
I say so long, like it's been years. It's been like 2 weeks.
It was like 6 days.
Yeah, but it's like, it feels like it. I miss it. I miss it. So I'll be up there this week. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, same people, same number. They know you. You've had that relationship. You're not calling somebody new, or better yet, somebody you've never talked to before. You're talking to somebody who's already made you the sale, and they're ready to talk to you and help you out every single time. That's how they've stayed in business for
50
years. They've been able to give service after the sale. 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville and you're looking for Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. If you're not going to be in Starkville, maroonandco.com is right there. The holidays are upon us. It's time to start making some purchases for your Mississippi State fans. Get it under the tree. Get it at Maroon & Co. Everything maroon and white under one roof. The best, the biggest and best selection in all of Starkville. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go back to Davis Wade Stadium, you need to go to Maroon & Co. We will be at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden for Sports Talk Mississippi and Thunder and Lightning Live next Wednesday. Wednesday the 19th, we will be there. Hope to come out and you come out and see us, and I hope you come out and check out some of the great deals on the John Deere mowers, tractors, trailers, gators, everything they've got at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. That's the Christmas gift that make everybody jealous. If you, what'd you get for Christmas? Oh, I got a new tie. Oh, what'd you get? Oh, I got a, that's a new sweater. What'd you get? Oh, I got a John Deere.
On a hot summer night.
Well, it'll be a cold winter night, but it's all the same.
Who knows? You don't really
know.
Yeah,
in the South, you never know. I've been through some hot Christmases.
Yes.
It's happened, so.
Like tornado warnings.
Which means you might need to mow the grass, so you need the John Deere mower. So, head up John Deere Mowers at Saltillo. I'm sorry, at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. If you're a Mississippi landowner, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. They've been helping landowners like you make smart, sustainable decisions for years. What are you trying to do with your land? That's where Good Hope Land and Timber comes in. If you're just looking at timber and land purchasing, you need to buy some land, or you need to take care of the land you already have. Their team handles it all safely, efficiently, and sustainably. You can trust your land is in good hands with Good Hope Land and Timber. So whether you're planning a final harvest, thinning a stand, or managing your forest for the long term, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to maximize your return while protecting your land. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, I'm one game back of Robbie Faulk on this pick'em.
We haven't had any differences the last
couple weeks, so let's see what we get here. South Carolina at Texas A&M. This is a big revenge game. Remember, A&M went over to South Carolina last year and got manhandled. And now, you know, early kickoff, South Carolina, they aren't very good.
They're not good.
They just don't have it this year, and A&M is cruising.
What are they going to do here?
Texas 8-4, by the way, not a possibility.
Not happening.
Can't happen.
And here's the thing: whenever that whole thing was happening with Mark Stoops and all that, I said on this thing, like, just go hire Mike Elko. I really believe Mike Elko can push that team forward and get beyond what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm vindicated here with Mike Elko. I've believed in Mike Elko since he's been at A&M. And you're talking to a person that has been at the top of the line A&M hater.
Mm-hmm.
This is a national championship caliber team.
Yeah, for
They've always had the talent, but it just seems like they have something this year.
They figured it out.
This is going to be a blowout. I don't know what South Carolina is going to do. Shane Beamer's been really consistent there, but the ceiling is extremely low, and it looks like they're kind of tailing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're going to do here. And I think best-case scenario, what?
19 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Best-case scenario is probably, like, he takes the Virginia Tech job.
Yeah, he does them that
kind of
favor.
A mutually exclusive. I mean, I think that's what probably needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm taking A&M here.
All right. I also will be taking the Aggies. 11:45. Oh no, a day game at Tiger Stadium. However, will they survive? Arkansas at LSU.
LSU's a mess. They are a mess. Arkansas kind of is too, but Arkansas has a really good offense. Gosh, I mean, I don't think LSU would lose this game, but day game at Tiger Stadium when they're having their issues, like this would be a time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pull the trigger though on Arkansas. They find ways to lose too often. I'm gonna go with LSU, but it would not shock. Like this is the time for Arkansas to get them because they just had a bye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bye week. Nobody's talking about them. Their offense is really solid. LSU's having all these issues with their coaching search and their athletic department. Their quarterback situation is bad, so they'll probably bounce Michael Van Buren in there. They won't have like a rhythm in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It would not shock me in the least. I'm going to go LSU, but keep an eye on this game. Like I think we could get into like the third quarter and we start turning it over to the SEC network. Like what's happening in Baton Rouge? Like that would not shock me at all.
I'm taking the Hogs.
You're going with it?
Mm-hmm. Day game. LSU can't
goodness.
Score. And you just mentioned it. I think they're going to be flipping between Nussmeier and Van Buren. That's a terrible idea. Pick a guy and go. Arkansas is going to win a game. They're going to win in the game of the conference. This is a great opportunity.
I don't hate that pick from you.
I'm taking it.
I'm playing a little safe here. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Wrong
team favored.
There's only 3 weeks to go.
Yeah.
I'm playing a little safe here. I don't believe in Arkansas, but I could definitely see that happening.
All right. I'm going to go with the Hogs and try to tie it up here. All right, Tennessee Tech at Kentucky. Kentucky got a little juice here. They might end up 6-6. We'll take the Wildcats. New Mexico State at Tennessee.
Tennessee Tech's 10-0.
They are. They picked the wrong FCS team. This is a decent FCS team. It could.
Jeez.
You want to make it?
You
feeling strong over?
No, I don't.
All right.
I think Kentucky is fine. Which if you're a Kentucky fan, you do not.
You didn't want this. You wanted to be bad.
Stoops going to go like 6-6.
To keep its job.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, big game of the day is Oklahoma at Alabama. Of course, a year ago, Oklahoma ruined Alabama's college football playoff chances. Alabama can repay that favor. Oklahoma would be out of the discussion with a loss here. Alabama would still be in, but it would be very interesting at that point. Alabama's playing about as well as anybody in the country right now. I'm definitely going to take the Tide at home. Surely they won't let Oklahoma get them twice.
Yeah, they're going to win this game. Although Oklahoma did win some points back for me when they went on the road and beat Tennessee. But I'm going to go with Alabama here. I think Alabama's just kind of locked in right now. They've kind of put all the noise to rest. Kalen DeBoer has really reeled this in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with them.
All right. And then in the nightcap, got two good games. Well, I say two good games. One game's interesting at least. Florida at Ole Miss. I said yesterday, I thought you can see what the line is.
What is it?
16.5. I would be willing to take double.
And they just lost Eugene Wilson for the season.
Yeah,
with an ankle.
This team's done. They're done.
I still think this is going to be muddy for Ole Miss.
I don't.
I just feel like it is, man. Like Ole Miss has won games, but they haven't been just incredibly impressive. Like you look at the beat Washington State by 3, I think it was. I mean, they're bringing out the belts and popping the belts for beating South Carolina by like what was it, 2 touchdowns. Like, this team's winning, but they're not perfect. They're not great at both sides of the ball. The defense is still kind of iffy. I think Trinidad Chambliss has done an excellent job this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this game's going to be muddy. There's just something about it. I don't know.
All right. But you're not taking the Rebels.
I do think they win, yeah.
Okay. I will be taking the Rebels, and they will win big, in my opinion. I think Florida is just completely – they want out. Lagway's going to be talking to Kiffin at halftime and be like, all right, so I'll be transferring here next year. You'll be ready for me. And they'll just go from there.
Why isn't it just – you're being too negative here. Why isn't
why
it,
is it he? Like,
why
isn't
he
looking recruiting? Forward to seeing you in Gainesville next year?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
why's it got to be that's just you being negative?
I'm just negative.
Or you spent way too much time around the Ole Miss people on
Well,
this
you're
effort.
a couple hours away from me having a conversation with some Ole Miss people about some things that were said this weekend.
Oh yeah.
So,
I'll be tuning in for that.
game of the day, game of the evening is Texas at Georgia. Georgia just has Texas's number. They just have them. But I think this might be a very close game. Texas is playing much better right now. If Texas wins out, they'll be in the playoff. Simple as that. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. Texas has Georgia. They're at Georgia. They have a non-conference game next week, and then they are hosting Texas A&M. 9-3 Texas in the playoff is a thing. If
Oh,
they can
they'll put
beat
them in.
Georgia or Texas
They'll
A&M,
put them
they will
in.
get in.
Yep.
I think they lose this one. I'm going to take the Bulldogs.
Yeah, this is a really tough Georgia team mentally and physically. I think that we're not talking enough about them. Just they're finding ways to win, and they still have all those same kind of pieces that they had. The defense is so strange to me. I was talking to Jake Rowe at the game the other day, a Georgia guy, and we were talking pregame about it. I was like, I just don't understand the defense. The numbers don't make sense to me. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback. They're not forcing turnovers, but they're top three in the league in defense. It doesn't really make sense, but they make it work.
They just get
And
off the field.
they're well coached. That's what it really boils down to, is both sides of the ball are super well coached. This is you can't call them a dark horse national championship team, but they're not being talked about in the same conversations, I don't feel like, than
Agree.
like Ohio State. So I could definitely see this team.
Making a run,
Yeah. And they're probably not going to go to the SEC championship game.
No, right now it's Alabama versus A&M.
Alabama A&M if those two went out.
Yeah,
So
there you go. All right, we'll both take the Bulldogs there. So, Arkansas, LSU, my chance to either get back in or I'm going to be down two going into these final weeks of the season. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what that means. Send your questions in and we will answer them. Talk to you guys then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.